one. And we will cross very shortly to Simon Marks. We're going to do it now. We're doing it. Oh, fantastic. Excellent. Let's cross to St. Louis in Missouri. So he's still at the site of tonight's big presidential debate between Hillary and Donald. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. You meet me in St. Louis.
I thought I would, you know. I had a feeling that this was in our this was in our DNA. I thought this morning would be it. This morning I would be meeting you.
And it's the perfect time to do it.
It is a perfect time to do it. You're absolutely right. Well, I mean, you've had a night of it. We watched it over here, and I have to be honest, it was mudslinging. It was, you know, scoring brownie points. But two polls have come out, one for YouGov, which puts Hillary slightly ahead, and the other one, which was CNN, which gave her a bigger lead. Is that how they're interpreting it in America?
Well, I think it is, but I think you have to take those polls with a pinch of salt, Steve, because it's very, very early days to see how the American public are going to digest not just the events of this debate, but the preamble to it, including Donald Trump's absolutely extraordinary decision, which he had not shared with the Republican Party, to invite four women who accused Bill Clinton of abusing them, and in the case of one woman, of raping her, to participate in a Facebook Live event before this debate got underway. And that really set the stage for an atmosphere of utter and complete disdain between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. No handshake at the start of the debate, absolutely no interaction between them at the end of the debate or between members of their families, at least in the on-camera portions that we could see at the end. Donald Trump coming to the conclusion that he really had nowhere else to go after this weekend that almost engulfed his presidential campaign, nowhere else to go but to raise Bill Clinton's infidelities and to suggest that Hillary Clinton, by having tried to sort of discount the claims that these women had made about Bill Clinton, was not in fact the champion of women's rights that she claims to be. And there were times during the debate when you could see Hillary Clinton really trying to control her anger and fury at the fact that he was bringing all this into the public domain. She didn't rise to the bait. She didn't get into defending Bill Clinton. Instead, she said, look, this is not just about what Donald Trump said on that tape about women. This is about all the violent and bigoted language that he's used over the last 15 months. And all of that taken together suggests that he's not fit to be president of the United States. The other big headline coming out of this debate is that Donald Trump threw his running mate, Governor Mike Pence, under the bus. He was pressed to say whether he agreed with Mike Pence's claim in the vice presidential debate a few days ago that the United States should in fact be bombing Syrian government positions. And pressed on it by one of the moderators of the debate, Martha Raddatz of ABC, he eventually told us that, first of all, he doesn't agree with Mike Pence, and secondly, that he has not spoken to him. And that was a window into the very fractured relationship that now exists between the presidential candidate and his vice presidential pick. They haven't spoken since that tape was released on Friday night, and there are all sorts of questions still swirling here about Mike Pence's future on this Republican ticket, although he sought to try and quell those immediately after the debate by putting a Twitter message out and saying that he thought Donald Trump had done a good job and he was standing by him. But look, the Republican elites are waiting to see how this goes down in the heartland, in the battleground states, and that, I think, is going to determine whether more Republicans flee the Trump candidacy and whether Trump has a future as the Republican Party's candidate. For the moment, I think he did enough tonight to hang on. But, you know, the way this election race has been going, who knows what's going to emerge, what videotape is going to be released, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
I mean, Simon, is this in terms of presidential debates on television, is this about as low as they've ever gone?
Absolutely. Steve, I mean, as you know, I have been here for the best part of a quarter of a century. This is the sixth presidential election that I have covered over the years for LBC. And we have never seen a presidential debate like this. And we probably won't see one like it again, although it's possible that this campaign is forever going to change the way in which elections are fought here in the United States. You know, you can't judge this debate by the normal standards of political discourse and political banter. There was very little substance to it. There's been precious little substance to the entire election campaign. This is as deep in the mire as American politics has ever gone. And, you know, the irony of sitting here where I am, Washington University in St. Louis, which hosted this debate, and universities love hosting these debates because they think that they help inspire young minds and get them engaged in politics and civics. Imagine being, you know, a 19 or 20 year old student at this university tonight and watching this spectacle take place.
It is quite amazing. He also made a threat to put Hillary in jail if he becomes president.
Well, that is absolutely the lowest point that we've ever reached. And there are senior Republican officials who are truly appalled by that, particularly Republican officials of a certain age and a certain vintage. The notion that one presidential candidate would say that once I become elected president, I will immediately ask the Attorney General to appoint a special prosecutor, in this case, to look into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server when she was Secretary of State. And then he went on to say that he thought she should be in jail.
Yes.
I mean, that's absolutely, we've never sailed into those waters here. And, you know, for a while after those remarks were made, the phrase banana republic was trending on Twitter. There are people very angry here from all sides of the political aisle with the fact that Donald Trump has taken American democracy, which, as you know, this country likes to think of as a paragon for other nations to emulate, that he has taken American democracy down that path.
I find it amazing, actually, that when you look on the scale of things, the only two candidates nobody seems to like at all, nobody likes her, nobody likes him, is there just nobody else available in America at the moment to stand for the presidency?
Well, we're so late into the process. I mean, look, even early into the process, it was apparent that this was going to end up being a choice between the lesser of two evils. And you are absolutely correct. He's got enormous negatives, but she's got enormous negatives as well. And this idea that, you know, the Democrats can rebrand Hillary Clinton and continually try and reintroduce her as a woman of authenticity to a country that has known her for a quarter of a century, and that polls suggest, you know, large numbers of voters have questions about her trustworthiness, her credibility, and her honesty. She faced some tough questions tonight about her use of the email server, about also these speeches that she'd been making to Wall Street bankers, the transcripts of which were dumped by WikiLeaks a few days ago, in which she talks about where you need to have a public position and a private position. This idea that you don't actually have to really believe anything that you say publicly. You just get on and do what you need to do privately behind the scenes. I mean, she faced tough questions on that, and those go right to the heart of this issue of her trustworthiness and credibility. And she's not completely out of the woods, but up against Donald Trump and a campaign that literally over the weekend appeared to be imploding, at this point, the Democrats are feeling pretty confident that the lead she enjoys currently in the opinion polls will get her all the way through until November the 8th.
Do you think she's actually got it in the bag?
You know, Steve, this has been such a completely unpredictable series of events that I am now at the point that anybody who tells you that they know what's going to happen, you know, doesn't know. I would say that they are reasonably right, reasonably justified to be confident in the situation in which they find themselves now. But again, there's simply no way of knowing what tomorrow is going to bring.
I know. It's as open as that, isn't it, really? We have no idea. I've watched it. I'm still none the wiser. It can go either way.
Yes, I mean, you know, we've still got 4 long weeks ahead. We've got another debate, by the
way. Yes. The
19th of October, and what better a place to wrap up this presidential campaign than in Las Vegas, the most plastic city on the planet, and that's where we'll be for the final presidential debate, assuming it takes place on September the 19th. That debate, by the way, goes back to the format of the first debate. So they'll be behind podiums, taking questions from a moderator. I think it's Chris Wallace of the Fox News Channel at the final debate. No more interacting with voters. And, you know, very tough to know, based on what we've seen so far, who that favours, because Donald Trump's performance tonight was much more self-assured than his performance in the first debate. I mean, I sort of looked at him and thought, this is a man who has concluded that he no longer has anything left to lose, so he just needs to go for it. And I think Hillary Clinton was somewhat surprised by his ability to stay on message and also to interact with some of those voters in the hall. You know, he hasn't done many of these town hall meetings, so there was no guarantee he was going to be particularly good at it. Regardless of all the mudslinging that went on at the beginning of the debate, he acquitted himself reasonably well, and those Trump loyalists who are still on the Trump train are pretty pleased about that.
Can I just ask you finally and briefly, Simon, are they wearing earpieces?
They are not wearing earpieces. This
right.
is this is a conspiracy theory, a myth that crops up from time to time and cropped up again tonight. There were a lot of people on Twitter wondering if someone was whispering in Trump's ear or someone was whispering in Clinton's ear. They are certainly not supposed to be wearing earpieces, and I personally think, having observed many of these things, that it's highly unlikely that they were wearing earpieces. If you go on YouTube, you can find all sorts of videos suggesting that last time round, Hillary Clinton was using a teleprompter. But again, there's no evidence to support that view. You know, they are in that hall, and they are really operating entirely on their own devices. I mean, you know, they've got to rely completely on themselves and their ability to respond on the hoof. And, you know, once they get into that hall, there's no outside assistance available.
Absolutely. Simon, thank you so much indeed.